Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Every Friday at 12:30, we sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these folks. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today, we're talking to Sarah Watson. Sarah, welcome to Zero Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
You have recently graduated from VCU,
Just this past December.
Wow. Where did you go before that?
I've spent my entire life in Richmond, actually.
Really?
Grew up Grove and Nansemond.
Wow.
In the same house for 18 years.
Did you, was it early on for you that you decided to make art, or was it something that sort of crept up on you?
In a way, it was. It was always, sort of in the background, but I really didn't take that many classes during high school.
Right.
I actually went up to George Washington my freshman year. Thought I was going to do history or something, but ended up coming back to VCU in hometown.
And doing?
Painting and printmaking.
Painting and printmaking. Right, yes, exactly. You graduated from college and from VCU with a degree in painting and printmaking. Instead of running out immediately and getting a job as a waitress, which is what most people...
Which I also do.
Which you also...
Don't worry.
Okay. So you got that covered.
Got that covered.
Okay. But you've also done something else that's really sort of extraordinary. You've gotten together with a bunch of folks and you started a print studio, right?
Right.
Okay. And I think because we were talking before, you said that it was a collective or a... It had some sort of socialist,
basically,
communist
that.
Overtones to it.
That's been an ongoing joke, actually. Right. But basically, we want to sustain that community that you get during school of being surrounded by all these people who are working and are motivated and inspire you. And a lot of people, it's almost in a way unique to art school that after you leave, you're, you flounder. You're not in that
anymore. Yeah, that's very interesting. There is no... I used to work with, not that you guys are emotionally disturbed, but, there is a similarity sometimes. But I used to work with kids who had a lot of emotional problems. And as long as they were in our program, they did great. And then we'd cut them loose, and then we wonder why they get into trouble again. And, you see art schools, and you see you're in this wonderful environment, and you're working with all these great people and all these teachers.
Exactly.
And it's a great world, and then you leave it, and it's like, go get a job as a waitress and have a nice life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what
happened. Pretty exciting.
So, right.
Well, I mean, in terms of having a positive response to that, I think is pretty exciting.
Exactly. So we just wanted to not let that happen. Keep going. We weren't ready for grad school. That's a big step, and we wanted to wait a couple years and have that schedule of, still making time to do this when we're outside of school. Not ready to leave Richmond, and so we wanted to create something here. I grew up here. I'm from here, and most students leave after either they stop making art or they go to a big city.
Right.
And we wanted to give people an opportunity to keep working here in Richmond.
So how many people are involved?
Right now we want lots of people involved. Right now the core people are myself, Ashley Hawkins, Cindy Ide, another VCU graduate, Kate Horn, and then we actually just acquired two new girls from, they graduated from Alfred up in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exciting to have.
What did they graduate in?
Printmaking.
Oh, really? Because I think of Alfred as mostly ceramics, but I guess it's not.
They both have ceramics experience Tyler Dawkins and Emily Gannon.
Right.
And I think that'll be a nice influence to have some people that aren't from the area and, bring something different to the table. So
I think it's a fascinating concept. I mean, it's such an obvious concept. It's such a simple concept. But so many people leave college, art school especially, and then just, see you out into the world. Same with graduate school.
Especially in printmaking because it takes a lot of equipment and time and dedication to maintain that equipment, outside of the VCU printmaking studios. There's nowhere in Richmond you can do that. So,
right, yeah.
So
not only do you lose all that support system and everything, all that time,
equipment.
You lose your equipment.
You don't have
It's like graduating from photography school and they take your camera away.
Exactly. You can, cut potatoes at your house and that's still great, but...
Yeah, and
make
prints from them, you mean?
Make prints from them, yeah, that's what I mean. But,
Linoleum cuts, nice things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, so... Yeah.
So how did you go about doing this? I mean, I'm sure this equipment didn't fall out of the sky.
It's been a long way.
Yeah.
Actually, in a way, it sort of did to tell you the truth. Well, Ashley and I, we have been talking about this for probably the past year.
Yeah.
And, you know, knew we wanted a place outside of VCU, knew we had to get our hands on some equipment and, you know, knew it was going to be quite a venture. And did a lot of talking. We went to business seminars, talked about being incorporated, you know, looked into nonprofit. Yes. And then when it came down to it this past December, stuff just started falling together. We crossed paths with Talking Horse Press, which is...
What is that?
Kate Horn, basically. Okay. And her... She has a Charles Brand etching press.
Well, that's right.
It's
that thing's been sitting in her studio forever.
It's been sitting in her studio.
Yeah.
Mainly for, she's been using it for her personal use.
Right.
And I mean, those presses are amazing. They're so sturdy. If we take care of that thing, it's going to outlive us.
Yeah.
And so she was interested and, you know, that's something you should share with other people. And, so we offered her, you know, the time and dedication and a space to maintain something like that and be print specific in our space. And, you know, she was interested in doing the same thing. So we joined forces, and then a space at Plant Zero opened up at the same time.
Really?
So within 2 weeks, I think we, you know, went from having nothing to having a space and a press. And
What do they say?
Business stuff went out the window.
This corny thing about following your bliss. And
exactly.
If you do doors open that wouldn't normally open kind of thing, I think probably is a lot of truth to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. We, you know, through this business.
So there you were with a press in a room.
There we were. A press in a room.
And no business plan.
Exactly.
Sounds like a good way to start to me.
You know,
so I started my first business.
it was just too much, you know, too much of a coincidence to.
Right.
Not even a coincidence, but. You know, too much to pass up.
It was rolling.
It was meant to be.
Right. Exactly.
So, and basically from there, we just built it up how we could.
What else did you need?
We needed, well, a lot of stuff. We actually, in that same 2 weeks, got our hands on a set of flat files for free, which are hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get
printed. For anybody listening who doesn't know what a flat file is, it's so that you can lay your printout flat in it.
It's
and they're huge
for
drawers.
Flat materials.
Yeah.
Big
drawers.
And they cost hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, they're,
So.
Yeah. My wife and I found flat files that were oak one time on the street in New York City in Soho.
Did you really?
Well, before Soho was Soho. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was back then. It was, I guess it was a place where you could live that was cheap in New York.
Sure.
That's what we called it.
Fair enough.
And somebody just, out on the street. Mm-hmm. And there they were. And they're long gone, though.
Oh, you should have held on to them.
I know.
We'd take them off your hands.
We'd be rich.
Yes. But so, you know, we needed some storage. We needed shelves, work tables. As far as intaglio printmaking goes, which is what we're fully equipped for.
What?
We can
I'm sorry.
Also do relief intaglio printmaking.
Okay, educate me.
It's traditionally etchings done on copper plates.
Mm-hmm.
And basically intaglio refers to... when you're working on a plate, it's all the recessed areas that hold ink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's related to drawing.
So you're using sharp objects to etch into copper.
And then also you use traditionally nitric acid, or we have ferric chloride in the studio, which will not burn you, basically.
Yeah,
but so we had to get that, and you'd be amazed at how much this stuff ends up costing that you don't know about.
Yeah.
The tank to put the ferric chloride in was $150.
Right.
You know, so it was just, had to get a bunch of chemicals.
So what about etching? Etching is interesting to me because it's such a different way of creating an image. I mean, than paint, than sculpture, than it's something I've never done.
Have to come down to the studio.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Watch me fall in love with etching. But I mean, it sounds, sort of so cold and so...
Cold?
Yeah, you got this copper, you got... No?
I mean,
tell me about it.
I guess, okay, the thing about etching for me, because I work mainly in intaglio, and cold, I can't believe you said cold, because in some ways you're working with this metal, but you can make such great marks into this, and it's all about the... recesses into the plate and, you can use all these different objects, and you can also go back. People, once you make a mark in a plate, you can get it white again if you really,
oh, really?
Try.
Yeah.
And part of it is this technical...
So you don't have to get it exactly right the first time?
Oh, no, no, no.
No.
But that's the great thing about metal. It's so malleable, and you can do so many different things with it.
What kind of tools? What are you talking about?
We've got... they make a lot of, you know, professional etching tools.
Yes, right.
Needles and burnishers and scrapers, which all do different tasks. But I mean, you can use a nail, you can use a tack, you can throw it.
Is
on
it
the
like drawing at all for you? Or
it's definitely related to drawing to me, because a lot of other forms of printmaking, people are like linoleum cuts and that sort of thing.
Right.
What you're drawing into the plate is going to be white in the end.
Right.
And so etching, and it's really physical. Once you understand how to, it's sort of a process learning to look at prints, but they have a depth that there's no other way to get.
Really?
And the way the ink sits on the paper. And I mean, I guess it's funny.
Is it just black ink?
Oh, no.
No.
And that's the thing about color inks, the way.
See, I'm an art expert here.
We'll see. With paper, the ink sits, how the light reflects into the paper is really different than looking at, you know, paintings on canvas or wood paneling. All that kind of stuff is very, there's just not as much light coming from every direction as it is in etching. And, I mean, I guess there are parts of the process where, for me, it really works that I can geek out on these technical processes of it. Mm-hmm. And you can get, you know, you find once you start looking at prints, you look at them a lot closer than you do bigger work. You know, you get inches from this and look at it. But
why?
Because it's on a smaller scale. And if you think about all these different depths you're getting into the copper that is, you know, half a centimeter thick to, I mean less than that, you know, you're looking at a small depth of field. But
so what makes a good etching? If you knew the answer to that, you wouldn't be
exactly,
here, right?
I would be,
you'd be somewhere famous.
I would already be famous and have my own studio without all these people.
What are you reaching for? Do you know what you're reaching for in etching? I mean, is that something you can verbalize, or
in a way? I think the battle for me in etching and copper is keeping things fresh, because it is easy to get dogged and down in there and you just can't get yourself out if you focus too much. I don't know if this is making sense as and so with so many,
well, are you
processes,
saying that the materials can easily start to dictate
exactly
what you're doing.
For me,
the idea is to overcome the limitations of the materials. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
In a way, almost, you know, not let you limit yourself by the materials, I think is what I mean.
Yeah,
because
right.
There's so many processes that you can get lost in, but it's a matter of working with them and keeping it fresh and letting the processes, you know, surprise you, I think.
And so you'll actually do an etching, and then when you go ahead and, okay, so you've got a, let's just sort of go through this. You've got a copper plate.
Sure.
And you put this copper plate on the press.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume a piece of paper comes in here somewhere along the line. Yes?
Well, you ink it up before you put it on the press.
Right.
Basically,
you ink up the copper.
You push the ink into all the grooves that you made and then wipe the surface clean.
Okay.
Put it on a press, put paper on top of it.
Right.
And roll it through.
Roll it over.
And the paper is pushed into all the grooves and sucks up the ink, and then you got a print.
Huh. Can you do more than one from that? I guess you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Depending on the work on your plate. I mean, most times you can get at least 50 off of before it starts to wear down.
Before the weight of the roller, I guess, would sort of start to flatten it out.
And depending on the work, I don't know how technical we want to get, but at least 50.
50? Yeah. Huh.
At least.
Okay, so you graduated from school. You decided that it was a good idea to get together with a bunch of people to start a business, to sort of be able to keep your hand in this thing. Has this been a good idea?
Oh, yeah. And we're just at the beginning.
Yeah.
We just opened the doors during the Command Print Southern Graphics Council Conference back in March.
Right.
1,000 printmakers in town. And That was great. We did a portfolio for it.
Really?
We gathered a group of VCU faculty, alumni, undergrad students, graduate students, and everybody made a print.
Mm-hmm.
And we called it LOL, the Command P BFF Forever Portfolio.
What does that stand for? We
wanted to address the theme of the conference was Command P, Command
right.
Print. The
Command P, I like better.
You know, how digital right. technology is.
Yeah, I talked to Holly about that.
Okay.
I said, where did you get Command P from? She said, have you ever looked at your computer?
Yeah.
You know, keyboard?
Oh,
and
you
went,
have a PC.
Oh. Oh, okay. Command P. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Right.
So we wanted, basically the title was just commenting on the condensed language that some of our technology perpetuates
mm-hmm.
as far as email, text messaging, all that. And we just wanted it to be funny, honest, you know,
right.
keep it casual. And basically everybody made a print and then did an edition of 15. So everybody who participated.
So were these all printmakers?
These were all these printmakers,
so they, okay.
You know, somehow associated with VCU. That's how we
And what
everybody.
Kinds of printmaking were they doing?
All over the place. We had
really?
Etchings.
I mean, besides what you do.
Etchings,
right?
Silk screen, digital. I work mainly in etching, but print is
digital.
And
talk about digital.
Digital.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're talking
digital
about
is,
Command
you know,
P, right? I mean, you're talking about computers.
Right.
Yeah.
The digital is adding, it's a whole new world. But, and it's not, you know, some people think it's coming at the cost of traditional printmaking, but.
Right, I was going to say.
I don't think that.
I was going to say, is it coming at the cost of traditional
printmaking? Stole the words right out of your mouth.
That's right.
No, not in my, I think these, I mean, obviously, I think these things can coexist and
right.
feed off each other, honestly. So, I mean, I use digital technology all the time, preparing drawings and that kind of thing.
Really?
So, yeah. And I do a lot of digital photography.
So you can draw.
It's a great resource.
You can draw on a computer.
You can draw on a computer.
Right.
Yeah. So
I guess with those pads you use or whatever they use. I don't
know.
They have
one of those at VCU.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, resizing stuff,
mm-hmm.
just it's a great way for me to, you know, most of my finished products aren't just digital, but
mm-hmm.
for me it's a great resource for thinking and brainstorming and playing things off each other. So,
for example, I mean, do you take a picture of something you've done, a print you've done, and
yeah,
put it in there? And
I've scanned a lot of my etchings
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
printed them out and worked on them. I do a lot of digital photography, which
mm-hmm.
Factors into my other work, and
right.
printed that out and drew on that.
Is your work abstract? Is it representational? Is it
right now? It's I'm heading. In the representational direction,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Interesting
I have
statement.
For a while.
You could put that on the title of your book, you know, heading in a representational.
I've been.
I can't even say the word. Anyway, in that direction for a while.
No, I've actually. I've been doing representational stuff for the past year or so.
What kind of imagery are you using?
Right now, interiors and.
Really?
Furniture.
Why interiors and furniture?
I guess for me, there's an importance of place that has come
mm-hmm.
into play recently, and I've been doing work having to do with human presence. Looking at imagery like a bed that still has the imprint of somebody
right,
laying on it
right,
who's just
right.
left the room, or
right.
carpet that's just been shuffled around
mm-hmm.
by somebody's feet, or, you know, curtains that have just been drawn. So
in a sense, time?
Time is a big part of it,
mm-hmm.
and time and...
And the passage of, and the mystery of, and the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting. So the other people that are working in the studio, what kind
mm-hmm.
of work are they doing?
We're all over the place. Ashley does an array of... She's also a lithographer.
Mm-hmm.
She does etching, litho, photography, lots of drawing.
What's litho?
Lithography is a print process that is based on oil and water repelling. It's a really...
Oh, really?
If the copper thing confused you, this still confuses me. It's has a lot to do with chemicals and yeah.
Well, I got the oil and water part anyway, so yeah.
But you start to, you can recognize what a lithograph from etching really easily.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And then Cindy is also does lithography, and she started some silk screen. We're hoping to have silk screen by the end of the summer. Funds.
You mean like a silk screen?
A silk screen thing, station.
Machine, right, whatever you call it. I don't know, what do you call it? Screen, I guess, yeah,
screens
right.
Screens and spatulas and a place to do it in the studio and all that. And Tyler and Emily, both, they're all over the place too. They've done a lot of relief stuff, woodcuts, and they're doing etchings.
How do you print woodcuts? Do you just roll the ink on them?
You roll the ink on it and then put it through. You just use a lot less pressure.
Oh, so you do put it through the press?
You can put it through press. And you are basically just skimming, you know, going over the surface, so it uses less pressure than
Something so wonderful about how it's certainly not unsophisticated, but how untechnical it is, how basic the technology is.
That's a great thing.
I mean, you're talking
about
a heavy roller, essentially rolling, I don't know if it even has bearings. Does it have bearings? But it just sort of rolls across this space.
It has a crank on one side turn, and so some it kind moves of the bed and the roller at the same time.
Okay.
So, and that's a great thing about print media, is that you have so many options. As far, you can be very media specific with what you're trying to do. You can, you know, do something like silk screen, where you can make a lot of reproductions very quickly you know, do posters or something that you distribute on the street.
Right.
Versus an etching, where you're doing, you know, a smaller number of prints probably in the end. And then, but that's a really great thing about printmaking. You can choose to get really technical, or you can choose not to be, you know.
Do you think you'll ever do anything else? I mean, you said you were interested in digital photography.
I think I'll be bouncing around.
Painting too, yeah?
I haven't done painting in a long time, but I'm sure it'll come back in.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to let those different medias feed off each other, I've found. So I'm sure, I think I'm a printmaker at heart, but all that other stuff comes
into
interesting
play too. Printmaker at heart, how people end up choosing those different things.
Right. It's a strange thing.
Who do you like? What printmakers do you like?
Let's see.
I mean, besides David Fried, was he around when you were there?
Yeah, I'm actually a Holly Morrison student. Yeah. So I don't know David Fried. I've heard about him.
Yeah.
But I guess some of my favorite printmakers are Louise Bourgeois.
Oh, really?
And Kiki Smith. They have some really powerful and
what do you like about
imagery.
Their work?
Kiki Smith, they just have such powerful imagery. And that's, you know, what I'm going for is, you know, simple yet powerful, I guess.
Yeah.
And trying to communicate something. And, you know, I guess they were both working with printmakers, so that's a whole different ballpark, and having some, but you know, that kind of collaboration and working with somebody else. But
you mean they're working with people actually making their prints for them? Is that what
exactly.
you're talking about? Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of publishers out there,
yeah,
and so that is a great process.
Who was I talking to? I was talking about that. Somebody I was talking to. So they have this great, this fabulous printmaker they work with. I can't remember, but you know, but I mean, apparently, I guess you know, people's careers become. They work with artists,
prints.
Do other people's prints, yeah, and doing them really, really well.
But it's a great collaborative, creative process where you can open up, you know, places that, you know, not either person individually could have seen coming, and especially because printmaking is such a skilled thing. You have to put some time into, you know, learning all these different skills.
Well, I was going to say, if someone's listening and they were interested, are you guys offering any classes? Are you?
Yes.
You are?
We, at the moment, don't have specific dates, but we're trying right now. We're all in there printing, getting rid of all the kinks in our process.
Okay. Do you have a website?
Basically. We do have a website.
Okay.
Well, we've got a blog, Studio23. It's all spelled out, TWOTHREE.
Okay, so blog studio, say it again?
Studio23.blogspot.com.
Okay.
We've got a MySpace. myspace.com/studio23. Let me say that.
Or Tudio, either one.
myspace.com/studio23.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on building a website right now. So that'll be studio23.com. But that's in the works.
Well, you've got the artistic talent anyway. You could probably put some etchings and things up there.
You can reach us also at studio23@gmail.com. Check it every day. So.
Okay, great. Good. So you're working on having classes. Are you going to charge? Are they going to be... how are you going to do it? Do you know? You don't know yet, do you?
We're not exactly sure yet, honestly. We're trying to work out the kinks of what we've got set up right now. But we definitely want to have workshops during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we unfortunately have to charge for them. But if you look at our website, email us, we'll put you on the email list.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep everybody updated on what's happening with that.
Great. Well, I mean, it's wonderful. Are there any other studios in town?
No.
You're it, right?
I mean, there's a couple, you know, VMFA and Visual Arts Center have some capabilities, but not...
It doesn't sound like they have the energy or the concentration or the focus.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, but we are the only fully equipped Intaglio studio.
Great. Okay. Well, guess what? We're out of time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I want to thank you, Sarah Watson, for talking with us today. And thank you, folks, for listening. We hope to see you for lunch again on radio next Friday at 12:30. This is Tim Bowering, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3, Richmond's Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of you.